Jonah chapter number 4. In chapter number 3, Jonah had just gone to Nineveh and he preached, and Nineveh had repented. And this is where, in verse number 1 of chapter 4 is where we're going to start. Bible says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, and that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning arose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Let's pray, and we'll get into the lesson this morning. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to give us to come to your house, Lord. And I pray, Lord, this would just be a blessing to somebody here this morning. And as we look at two different kind of thoughts out of this chapter, and Lord, you've just blessed my heart out of this book. And Lord, I pray that we would just be encouragement to somebody this morning. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing, I'm just going to give you an outline for this thought. And if you want to write some stuff down or maybe just kind of think about it, and maybe it's applicable to your life. You know, God had prepared Jonah. God, and we could say Jonah was a prepared man, okay? And I don't know what Jonah did the rest of his life. That we don't have any record of Jonah doing anything else for God the rest of his life. But I thought that it was some kind of interesting. If you look at verse number 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd." And this gourd that God had prepared was a blessing to Jonah, okay? And we see that in verse number 6. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd, okay? So God had a prepared blessing, all right, in order to have a prepared man, okay? So God had a prepared blessing for a prepared man. Verse number 7, "But God prepared a worm," all right? So God had prepared the removal of what Jonah perceived as a blessing in order to prepare his man. You know, and that's often the way it is in the Christian life, you know. It's like, man, God just really blessed us. And then, you know, sometimes we don't understand why maybe God took that blessing away from us, all right? Or, you know, we do not always understand those things. And then in verse number 8, "And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted." You know, God also, in order to prepare his people for something that he wants them to do, he'll also sometimes bring a trial. And that's what this was. And you see, we see these three things that God had prepared in order to have a prepared man. All right? And I don't know, like I said, I don't know what Jonah did the rest of his life. Maybe God, because of this chapter, maybe God couldn't use Jonah anymore. But he was trying to. So just as a thought, this is kind of the outline thing I was talking about. You know, sometimes God prepares different things to come into life that sometimes we don't always understand. You know, we're glad for some things that God gives us. Some things we don't understand. And then some things we just get mad about. Okay? Which leads us to what we're going to talk about this morning. This chapter really cracks me up. Okay? So Jonah goes to this city. The Bible says in verse number 11, there were more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left. All right. That basically means that's how many young people, you know, like my daughter, you know, you know, half the kids in children's church, raise your right hand, and they always raise their left hand. That's kids that can't, that's who it's talking about, okay? So that's how many young people are in this city, okay? That's just kind of an idea. So Jonah, after Nineveh repents, and Nineveh turns back to God, Bible says in verse number 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. It's like, wow, Jonah just had this great revival, and now he is mad, okay? And it kind of cracked me up, but at the same time, if you understand what Jonah was, if you remember the very first week we talked about this, Jonah didn't want to see these people get saved, okay? Look at verse number 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He's like, God, one of the reasons I didn't want to go to Nineveh is I thought if they would repent that you would have mercy on them, and I didn't want you to have mercy on them. That's what he's saying. He's like, I just want you to wipe them out. Okay? Now, sometimes we're like that as Christians. You know, David was like that. He's like, God, just wipe my enemies out. Okay, that's in the Chad Gordon version of it, all right? But he didn't like his enemies, and he wanted them taken out, all right? And that's what Jonah was like here. But it just cracks me up that it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He was very angry. In fact, he was so angry, he asked God to kill him. He's like, God, I can't even watch this. I can't watch you have mercy on these people. I'd rather just die than watch you have mercy upon these people. That's pretty angry, okay? I mean, there's a lot of bitterness built up in Jonah. But the funny thing to me is, you know, okay, it's like Jonah, after God told him in verse number 4, the Bible says, then said the Lord, he asked him a question, doest thou well to be angry? And I want to ask you that same question this morning. In all seriousness, doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? If you look at this chapter, anger or angry is mentioned a lot in this chapter. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, folks, as Christians, God doesn't want us to live in a spirit of anger. And there's a lot of ways. Well, I'm not angry right now. Is there something inside that you're angry about? Maybe angry at somebody or angry at God. Okay? That could be true in a lot of our lives. Something that we've held for a long time. The other day I talked just a little bit about bitterness. You know, bitterness is just basically a form of anger. You're bitter at somebody. You're bitter at God. And so you have that anger inside you. But I want to ask that same question that the Lord asked Jonah. Doest thou well to be angry? Why are you angry for? You know, a lot of times anger, it's like bitterness doesn't hurt the person that you're bitter against. Bitterness just hurts you. And anger is a lot of the same way. You know, a lot of times, you know, if somebody's angry at me, you know, most of the time I really don't care. Okay? You know, as long as I'm doing what's right, I don't care if somebody gets mad at me for doing what's right. But you know what? It hurts that person that's angry at me more than it would ever hurt me. Okay? So anger is something that we really need to deal with as a Christian. So in verse number 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what become of the city. Jonah's waiting for the fireworks. I mean, literally. He's like, oh, fine. I'm just mad. So he goes up to the east side of the city, and he builds him a booth. He takes a bunch of branches. If you look at the Bible, what they talked about, a booth, he's basically taking a bunch of branches, and he builds him a little pavilion. And he sits down and he relaxes. Like, seriously, like he was going to the 4th of July to go watch fireworks or a parade to go watch, you know, a parade. He's just making himself comfortable and waiting for whatever's going to happen, because he thinks that God's going to destroy Nineveh. All right? And he's just, I'm just going to sit back here and relax and, you know, watch God rain fire and brimstone down on Nineveh. Okay? I mean, he was kind of looking forward to it. And I don't know, maybe I would too if I thought it was going to happen. I mean, I would have kind of liked to watch Sodom and Gomorrah get burned up. Oh, man, direct hit, you know. Sorry, I'm I'm going back to children's church. I have to remember you guys aren't children's church, okay? But I don't know. I would have liked to watch Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know. If you're a guy, I think it's cool watching stuff get blown up, okay? And I don't know. I would have liked to watch something like that get destroyed, okay? That's exactly what Jonah's doing here. Exactly what he's doing. He's just waiting for them to get destroyed, okay? So he's very angry. He's very angry about that. And then in verse number 6, God had prepared the gourd, which is basically, if you know anything about gourds, if you think of watermelons or anything like that, that type of thing, they spread out. There's a lot of vines. And so God made this gourd, okay, to grow up overnight, basically, and shadow over the booth that Jonah had made to give him some relief from the sun and the wind and everything. And then that night, a worm came and ate it. So then he's angry again, okay? I mean, he's just kind of a bitter, angry guy. He's angry because Nineveh got saved. He's angry because a worm ate his gourd, okay? Really pretty petty stuff, wouldn't you agree? Okay? I want to talk about some stuff that sometimes we are angry about. What are you angry about? As the Lord said, doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well? How are you doing? You're angry about that, but how are you doing about it? Is it hurt? You know, it's hurting you inside. Whether you think so or not, it's hurting you inside. So doest thou well to be angry? What do people get angry about? What do people get angry about? Well, I think, number one, and we see this in the life of Jonah, people get angry over what we do not perceive as fair. Well, I just don't think that's fair. God, and that's what Jonah's saying, God, these are wicked people. It's just not fair that you would save their life. And he's angry about that. You know, a lot of people, and this is a big thing for people, well, that's just not fair. Why did God take their life? That's just not fair. Well, it's all in your perception of what you see as fair. You know, if you want to know what's fair, not a one of us deserve to be alive right now. It's just in your perception of what's fair. Okay? Well, it's just not fair. You know, I didn't have a Christian home. It's just not fair. It's your perception of what's not fair. Okay? Well, my husband-wife relationship, they're just not, it's just not fair. Well, what's your perception of what's fair? Okay? Because none of us deserve what we truly, none of us want what we truly deserve. Let me say it that way. Okay? You don't want what you deserve. I don't want what I deserve. But oftentimes we get angry. Well, I see, and we'll get to this in just a moment, but I see God blessing somebody else. That's just not fair. I'm doing just as much as they are. I'm serving God. I'm doing whatever. And you get angry at God? Maybe God's got something special. Remember the gourd? Well, that's just a blessing that God's given them. Well, maybe God's getting ready to take that blessing away from them too. So don't get angry about it. Okay, because it's not hurting them when you get angry. It's just hurting you. I don't understand why this financial thing came. That's just not fair. Well, don't get angry about it, because anger is just going to make it worse. Okay, we laugh at Jonah, but us Christians, myself included, are in the same spot Jonah is a lot of times. We get angry about foolish things. Okay, so don't get angry over what you don't perceive as fair. Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 18. I don't know, this may or may not have a whole lot to do, but God kind of brought this story to my mind because I've been reading through 1 Samuel in my devotions. So I guess the Lord kind of brought this story to my mind. 1 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. You know what we have here is a classic example of what Saul didn't think. Well, that's just not fair. Saul didn't think that was fair, that the women in the city were singing about David more than they were singing about him. And you know what? From this time on, he sought to kill David. Did it ever happen? No. But from this time on, Saul had a bitter spirit in his heart. And that's all you see about Saul from this time on, is how he just, God's presence left him, okay? And he just has this bitter, angry spirit. He tries to kill David three or four times. And you remember all the story. I mean, I don't have time to go through all the stories. You know, he's in the cave with him, and he goes down in the trench and cuts and takes his spear and his bolster. And you think, why is Saul so mad? Because he's like, well, that's not fair. It's just not fair. David hasn't killed as many Philistines as I have. That's not fair that they should say that about him. Okay? It's all because Saul didn't perceive it as fair. So Saul's very angry about that. Second thing in Jonah, why do people get angry? Why are some Christians very angry? Number one is because they're angry over what they don't perceive as being fair. Sometimes Christians in the church, you know, you get angry at pastor. Well, he's just not fair. Well, you don't see everything that pastor sees. Let me just say that, okay? Well, he's just not fair. Well, I think he does the best he can, okay? He is a human, all right? And I think sometimes we think that pastor, he's not God. I think he's a lot closer to God than probably any of us. But he's not perfect. And it's a lot, remember, is it what you perceive as fair? Okay? Is it in just your perception? Because a lot of times if you're seeing, you know, you can have, what, 6 different eyewitnesses to an accident, and every one of them will tell you something different because of their perception, what they saw. Okay? So don't be angry over things you don't perceive as being fair. That's what Jonah was. Jonah was also angry over things out of his control. Jonah was angry over things out of his control. Some of you are going to have a coronary because of this election coming up. You're angry about it. You're mad. Well, I'm not real happy about stuff that's going on either. But you know what? If I just dwell on that and get angry about it, that's just an illustration, okay? There's a lot of things in life. But honestly, there's not a whole lot I can do about what's going on. Is there anything that I personally, I'll go vote and I'll do what I can. But besides that, folks, there's no sense to get bitter and angry about it. Okay? God doesn't want you to live that way. And that's just one thing. Maybe there's something that happened in your childhood or, you know, in your growing up years, and you're just still bitter, angry about it. Well, you know, some of that was out of your control. And if you couldn't control anything about it, don't be angry about it. You know, Jonah did not have any control about what the Ninevites were going to do. He did what God told him to do. He went and preached that they needed to repent. But after that, it was out of his control. It was out of his control. So why did he get angry about something that wasn't even, he couldn't even affect that. Okay? God told him to do something, and he did it. So don't get angry. You know, sometimes you have health issues come up. Okay, listen, don't get angry about it. Now, on the other hand, if it's something that you caused, okay, I'm sorry, but sometimes we just got to live with consequences, okay? I won't preach the junk food thing again, but, you know, but don't get angry about something that's out of your control. You know, God's maybe given you something. Well, I don't understand. I don't understand why people in this, I don't understand why people in this church go through things that they go through. And sometimes you question, why is my church family member going through this? And this kind of goes back to that. God, it's not fair. It's not fair. Why are they going through that? God, it's not fair. And sometimes we get angry over things that are completely out of our control. Don't get angry over that. You have to trust God that God has a perfect plan in it. Okay? Jonah couldn't control the fact that the worm ate his gourd. That was something out of his control. So why did he get angry about it? He should have just been blessed. He should have just been thankful for the blessing that the gourd was while the gourd was there. Not get angry about it when it was gone. Okay? This is good for me. This is good for me too. Sometimes you guys, you know, some of you go through things I don't understand. Why God? And sometimes I pray and ask, well, God, why did you let this family? Why is this family right now going through something that they there's no reason that they should be going through that? I don't know. But remember, God prepared, in order to have a prepared man, he had a prepared gourd, a prepared worm, and a prepared wind. I don't understand, but God wants to prepare you for something. So don't get angry over things out of your control. Sometimes this is something else. Here's the other thing. First of all, he got angry over what he didn't perceive as being fair. He got angry over things that was out of his control. Thirdly, he got angry over blessings that was given to others. And this would go along with the other two. I think all of them kind of tie together. We got angry over blessings given to others. And this is easy to do. But you know what a lot of the time this is? This is a sin also. It's also called envy or covetousness, okay? But we get angry. God, I just don't understand why you blessed them with that financial thing. Why did you bless them with this or that? I don't know. I mean, if we understood God, he wouldn't be God. So we don't even try to necessarily understand why God does what he does. But we get angry over, you know, well, they just had a great childhood or they had great parents. Okay? But you know what? Don't get angry about it. Don't get angry about it. Don't get angry about the blessings that are given to others. And that's what Jonah was. Jonah was angry because God blessed the Ninevites. God granted them mercy. And he's like, God, you shouldn't have done that. I'm mad about that. So we see those things in Jonah's life. Now I want you to hang with me this morning. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs. I want you to start in the book of Proverbs. I think I got everything in order. I want to show you some verses, okay? I'm not just up here talking. I want to show you the Bible, okay? So we're going to start in Proverbs chapter number 14. And I want to just show you what God has to say about anger. Proverbs chapter number 14, about being angry or things like that. Proverbs chapter 14. We'll be in Proverbs for a little bit, but like I said, we'll work through the Bible, so I think I got everything in order so you don't have to flip back and forth. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17. The Bible says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." You know, some people, you know, got short tempers. You know, I've got somewhat of a short temper, okay? My anger, I don't express a whole lot, which is probably a worse type of anger. Because, I don't know, you just keep it in, and if you're not careful, it festers inside. It's a cancer, all right? It's bitterness, okay? I don't know, I just get quiet when I'm really angry, okay? I'm not in your face. You know, if I got somebody that comes in my face and just gets really angry at me, I just hit them, okay? But then I don't really say anything to them. It just, you know. Actions are better than words. But sometimes, you know, we get angry. You know, I have to be careful playing basketball or sports of any kind, you know, because I get angry because I don't perceive it as being fair. All right. I get angry because it's something out of my control. You know, they didn't catch the ball. Well, you know, it's something out of my control. And then I get angry because the ref gave them a blessing that, you know, I didn't think was right. All right. See, there you go. Perfect example. And I get, I get heated up when I play sports, and I got to be careful about that. You know, there's some sports I like playing better than others because there are ways to, you know, there are ways to vent your anger. You know, if you're playing football, you know, every once in a while you hit somebody a little harder than necessary just to vent your anger a little bit, okay? See, I'm carnal. It's terrible. But soon angry. Soon angry. Some people, I mean, just snap. We were at that last youth conference. And we were walking through the hallway, like going out of the hallway. And I don't know what this kid said to this other kid. I have no clue. But he was in his face, like yelling at him. Right in the middle, I mean, everybody's standing there. And it's like, hey, calm down. I don't know who you are. I don't know what youth group you're from. But there's a time and place to be angry, and right now is not that time. You know, it's like, what, you know, I don't know, maybe he insulted his mother or something. And, you know, if that's the case, then yeah, you know, you probably have cause to be angry. But, you know, it was just, I don't know what caused it. But, you know, probably it was one of these three, he was angry over one of these three things, okay? So soon angry. Proverbs chapter 15 should be right there. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And you've all met somebody like this that's just an antagonist. You know, they want to get your goat. All right, they just poke at you and poke at you and poke at you until you just that's all you can take. Okay, but a soft answer turneth away wrath. My dad was great about this. You know, sometimes when I was growing up, I mean, I'd be hot about something, you know, something that happened at school or something. And, you know, dad's kind of quiet and like, son, should you be mad about that? It's like, no, dad, you need to be mad about it. you know, it's like, all right, I shouldn't be mad about it. You know, it's just like, you know what that is? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Soft answer turneth away wrath. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. He that is slow to anger versus the man that gets angry fast, okay, he's called foolish, but he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You know, being able to control your temper, being able to control the bitterness, the spirit that you have inside, is better than being physically strong. That's what the Bible says. And he that controls his spirit is better than he that can take a city. You know, the Bible talks about your tongue. You know, if you can control your tongue, you can control any part of your body. It kind of goes along the same way, because grievous words stir up anger. Okay? Something to think about there. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. You know what that means? It's like, think about what you're getting angry about before you really get angry about it. Because if you've got discretion, it'll defer it. It'll push it away. It'll push that anger away. And you know what the Bible also says? It is his glory to pass over a transgression. You know, accept a fault. You know, people are going to do wrong. People are going to make mistakes. Accept it, okay? It's a mark of maturity on your part as a Christian to pass over a transgression. That, well, we're all human and it's okay, all right? Proverbs chapter 21, or look at verse number 19 in that same chapter. Proverbs 19, 19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. All right? There's punishment involved in being an angry person. You see that on the basketball court. If you watch any basketball, Brother Bobby could tell you. You know, a guy that fouls out all the time, it's usually because he's angry about something. Okay? He gets mad, and so he sits on the bench most of the time. Okay? And if thou deliver him, he'll do it again the next game. Okay? It's just, that's his nature, and he hasn't learned to control it yet. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 19. Oh, this is a good one. Kind of chuckled at this one. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. We'll just leave it at that. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. See, I ain't going there. It's better to dwell in the wilderness. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Well, why not? Because of what we just read over here about an angry man getting into trouble. He'll get you into trouble. All right? He'll get you into trouble. I got a story I could tell you, but I'm not going to tell you. Tell it. All right. Stephen Ross. All right. When we were at Bill Rice Ranch, this was way long ago, okay? I'm not as much of a fighter. Stephen was always kind of, you know, he liked getting into fights and stuff. Well, for some reason, we picked a fight with like some, it was like a combo week or something. So there's juniors there, and then there's the seniors. Okay, so for some reason, we got into this argument with some seniors, and we're just juniors, okay? So me and Stephen are, you know, antagonizing, you know, grievous words stir up anger, okay? We pushed them as far as they would be pushed. And then all of a sudden, you know, we got punished for being angry because they're wanting to come back on us for... And I'm like, okay, I'm out of this. You know, this is too much. Man, Stephen, he's like a bulldog. I mean, he just goes right after him, starts chucking rocks at him and all kinds of stuff. And then we all got in trouble for it. And you know what? And it just, that story reminded me of this. Is like, you know, if I wouldn't have been with him, I wouldn't have gotten in trouble. All right? But you know what? We were stirring up anger. And, you know, we were both involved. I'm not saying I was guiltless by any means, you know. He was probably protecting me more than anything. But, you know, it gets us in trouble if you're not careful. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 3 and 4. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Ecclesiastes, next book over in the Bible. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7. Verse number 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Let's flip over to the book of Matthew. Matthew, chapter 21. Or Matthew 5, sorry. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. You know what? Grace holds us to a higher standard than what the law does. And as a Christian, we should not. God commands us, don't be angry with people. Do not be angry. We'll see that here in a minute. Ephesians chapter 4. Two more and we'll be done. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26. You say, but Brother Chad, isn't there anything to be angry about? Absolutely. There are things that you should be angry about, but the Bible gives us a guideline for that anger. Okay? Jesus got, you know, I think Jesus was angry when he went into the temple and they were selling merchandise in the temple. I think that was a display of Jesus' anger. But what we don't understand sometimes is we're not able to control our anger. Okay? Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. If you know what that neither means, it's referring back to the verse previous to that. So I think what the Bible's teaching in a way is if you're angry, you're letting the devil have a foothold in your life. If you're constantly angry, if you're just holding on to something, the devil's got a foothold in your life, and he's going to make a fool out of you. That's what the Bible says, okay? Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 3. Verse number 5. Mortify therefore, that means kill. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Look at the first, like, three. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. You know what God says? Hey, you're a Christian, you're a new person. You know what you need to do? You need to put off all this stuff. Anger, wrath, malice, get rid of it. In order to live a victorious Christian life, you cannot be an angry person. I don't know if Jonah ever did anything else for God. I don't. We don't have any record of Jonah doing anything else for God. He said in verse number 9, remember what God asked him in verse number 4. The Bible said, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" Then in verse number 9, and he said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." He answered God. He eventually answered God and said, "Yeah, I'm angry about it. And I'll be angry." I don't know if this is the way it could, but I think it could be read. "I'm going to be angry about it till I die." And Jonah never was used of God anymore that I have record of. What are you angry about? Just like God said, doest thou well? Is it good for you? Doest thou well to be angry? What are we angry about? Over things we don't perceive as fair, over things out of our control, and over blessings given to others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, help us in this area of our lives. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be more giving of myself. Lord, help me not to be angry about things and or bitter about things that I don't think is fair, or Lord, things that are out of my control, or God, things that you've given to others that sometimes I'm envious or jealous of. Lord, help me not to be selfish and self-centered. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in this area of our lives to be better Christians, more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.